Today's reading is Jonah verses 1 through 11. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give him shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace, friends. It is so, so good to see so many of the faces that I know and the new faces that have shown up since I left. You guys are beautiful. It's a good-looking crew. I just traveled across the United States from Oregon to Austin last week to get here for my sister's big thing. And let me just tell you, it's an interesting thing to travel across the U.S. right now. Everybody's a little bit nervous everywhere you go. And everyone is trying to make eye contact as well. So again and again, we were asked, as we stopped at rest places, because of course we had a dog with us, who's always a good breaker of the ice, where are you from? Where are y'all from? Where are you from? And I don't know how to answer that anymore. Like, I don't. Do you mean where I live now? Because I live in Bend, Oregon, arguably one of the most beautiful places in the United States, possibly the entire world. But they don't want me to tell you that, okay? So don't move there. It's like Austin 30 years ago when we first moved here and everyone was like, don't move here. It's not like it used to be. Same thing, Bend, Oregon. Don't move here. But it is stunning, and you should come on vacation. And it's not hot. I'm just saying. So am I an Oregonian now? I don't know. I've been there for 6 years. I feel like I'm an Oregonian. Or do they mean when you ask someone where you're from, where you were born? Because I was born on an army base in Augusta, Georgia, that was named after a Confederate soldier. Although I just found out they have renamed it after Eisenhower, so I feel better about that now. But I was there for only 6 weeks, so does that make me a Georgian? Or do people mean, like, where you grew up? I grew up in Miami, Florida for 13 years. Am I a Floridian? Or we moved to Texas when I was 13, and I lived in Houston and Sprang, Texas for 10 years, and then we lived in Austin for over 20 years with a brief sojourn in California where my eldest daughter was born. So am I a Californian? Am I a Texan? I lived in Washington. I don't know. How long do you have to live somewhere before you get to claim it as your own? When are their people your people? The rules for this seem to change depending on where you're at and how long you've been there. So the truth is, I don't know where I'm from anymore. But I do know who loved me, who accepted me, who taught me and changed me and formed me into the person that I am today. And that's this church. That's y'all. I came here as a young mom in 1998, mostly because I was sick of watching Teletubbies and I wanted to speak with other adults. I'm going to be honest. My girlfriend, who lived catty corner to us in Barton Hills, had just moved in, and she'd just been through an ugly divorce, and she had come here and found her place, found her people, found a Sunday school class. Like, what adults go to Sunday school classes? Me. I was part of a Sunday school class for like 20 years here. She literally dragged me here because I didn't want to go back to a Methodist church because I was considering myself a very serious actress and all of my friends were queer and I didn't want to go anywhere where they weren't welcome. But she made me come here and immediately I was home. These people were my people and I knew it. So a warning to all of the young people in this place, you don't know what this place can do to you. I was a normal person before I came here. They trick you into taking a Bible study class so you can argue with your cousin online about God's inclusive love. And before you know it, you are leading VBS. You are singing songs that you never knew about Jesus' love. You are marching in pride parades. You are on staff. And then someone puts his arm around you on Maundy Thursday in 2007 with Mimi Raper next to him and said, "Kid, we've got plans for you." And before you know it, you're in seminary. And let me tell you, none of my friends and family, some of them are here in this room, can tell you that they expected that. So be warned. You don't know what can happen here. And yet, as I stand here before you today, in this space that shaped me so deeply, I also feel the weight of the world that we are all living in today. Because we're not only asking, "Where are you from?" these days. No, we're also asking, "Are you with us? Are you with them? Are you a red state or a blue state? Are you Fox News or NPR? Are you one of us? Are you one of them?" And I have to tell you guys, I don't know if you know this, but outside of Texas, no one likes Texas anymore. When I say I'm from Texas, when I see another Texan and my accent comes out, as it does, people look at you a little afraid. Texas is worse than California now. Who knew? But what is going on here amongst the state government to women and immigrants scares people in the West. We are living in a time where it is incredibly easy to divide us, to get stuck in the heat of our own little Jonah huts, glaring out at those people, waiting to see if God will smite them. Do it already. And that is why I love the book of Jonah. It's so funny, because it's exactly where we find Jonah in the story this morning. He is mad, he is petty, he is perspiring, and he is angry. Not because God is unjust, but because God is too just. Too compassionate, too forgiving, too willing to love the people that Jonah cannot stand. Do you remember this story? Have you read it lately? It's only 4 chapters, you guys. You can do it, I promise. It's hilarious. So God comes to Jonah and says, "You need to go save the people of Nineveh from themselves. They are doing evil things. Warn them. Be a prophet." And Jonah says, "Nope, I hate those people. I'm not going to save those people." and he runs away from God and gets on a ship headed in the opposite direction. And this is what happens. This is what it says in the scriptures. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." And then the sailors said to each other, "Well, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. I know it's one of y'all." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so they asked him, "All right, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher. And so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" And Jonah said, quoting Taylor Swift, "It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Pick me up. Throw me into the sea." And they do. Isn't that great? They just throw him in. And he's swallowed by a giant fish. And he's in there for 3 days until he is, it says, vomited up on dry land. And time to help the people of Nineveh repent. He does it. And he is so mad. He is so ticked off. He still doesn't want to help them. They wanted this. They voted for this. Let them stew in their own juices. Let God destroy them. I don't care. Sound familiar? This tiny, strange book of Jonah ends, too, not with a resolution, but with a question. A question God asked Jonah that I think is meant for all of us in our time, too. Is your anger a good thing? Is your resentment healing the world? Is your righteousness getting you anywhere? Because while Jonah sulks about fairness, God is at work, protecting cities, still providing shade, still loving people Jonah would have canceled a long time ago. And here is the thing. I totally get Jonah. I am Jonah. You probably are too. I mean, aren't we all a little bit Jonah right now? Haven't we all had moments where we wanted God to pick our side? We want justice for us and grace for our people. But for them, that's the people that we'd like to throw into hell. Am I right? And yet God says, if I care about a shrub, can I care about 120,000 people who don't even know their right hand from the left? Can I care about the animals too? And that's the end of the story. The book is funny, it's absurd, and it is painfully accurate because the story is about us. It's our divided, partisan, tired world, and it is very timely. So what do we do now? Well, what if our job as Christians isn't to explain God or defend God or police the boundaries of who's in and who's out? What if our job is to be glad that God is more merciful than we are? Amen? What if our job is to open our lives to the Spirit who keeps showing up in unexpected places? Amen? And what if our job is to be the kind of people who don't just ask, "Where are you from?" but Who loved you into being? Who are you becoming? And how can I walk with you on that way? Beloved community, I came here as a young mom looking for friends. And you turned me into a disciple. You showed me a God who doesn't quit, who loves past all the boundaries that I like to put up, who changes hearts and minds and lives. Our country is falling apart, divided by a man who openly calls those who don't agree with his philosophy enemies of the state, who makes up genocides in South Africa so that he can import white refugees while deporting brown people who are at their own immigration hearings. We're deporting children from foster care. I ask you, who will stand up for God's love? Will our anger destroy us or push us into God's embrace? Will we use our privilege to love this country back into remembering our values, who we want to be? Yes, we will. We can. Because we are people who follow Jesus. Salvation is freedom from the fear of death. Jesus, on his first sermon in Luke 4, says that he has come to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of Jubilee. That is our inheritance. That is who we follow. That is who we are. And that is what we believe. So yes, we can pout like Jonah. I have done it. I recommend it. For at least a short period of time every day. But our work is to rise like the Christ, to love so deeply and widely that we remind each other that no lines can keep us apart, that we are people of a great country. We have an inheritance of love. Let us be strong, let us be wise, let us live into that love and be the people that God has called us to be. You did it for me, do it for yourselves. Let's continue to change the world with God's love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, amen.
As the gap